This week is Parashas Emor, and the Parasha lists all of the Yomim Tovim and their specific mitzvahs. It begins with Pesach, and then it tells us about the Karban HaOmer, which was a Karban brought on the second day of Pesach. And then it tells us the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which is counting from the day, second day of Pesach, which was the day that that Karban was brought, all the way to Shavuos. And then the next Yom Tov tells us about is Shavuos. Now, the Pasuk which commands us the mitzvah of bringing the Karban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach is also where it prohibits us from eating any of the wheat that grew prior to the Karban HaOmer being brought. That's known as Chadash, right? So any wheat which grew throughout the winter until the Karban HaOmer is brought, it is prohibited. You can't eat it. Now, here in Chutz La'aretz, it applies essentially, but the reason why many are not makbid is due to an interesting halachic calculation. That's irrelevant for right now. In Eretz Yisrael, though, everybody is, you have to be makbid on Chadash. So anything that grows throughout the winter is not mutter until comes the second day of Pesach, because nowadays we don't have the carbon, so just the day itself makes it mutter. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you had to wait for the Karban HaOmer to be brought in order that it should become, you should be allowed to eat any of your wheat that you grew. Now, there's a beautiful pshat in a sefer called Umasa Ka'ar, and it has also a wonderful story attached. So he makes a observation, a very interesting observation about the language of the Pasuk. It's quite intriguing. The Pasuk says, Kisavayu al aras ashani nes nalchem, when you come to the land that I'm granting you, Ukitzartem es katsira, and you'll cut its harvest. So you have to bring this Karban HaOmer, Reishis Katsirchem, the first of your harvest, to the Kayin, and he will bring it as a carbon. So the language is interesting because it says Ukitzartem es katsira. So it's a hay with a mapik hay, it's possessive. So we refer to the harvest as the land's harvest. You will harvest the land's harvest, as if the wheat belongs to the land. And then in the same breath, it says, as Reishis Katsirchem, your harvest will be brought to the Kain. So, what is it? Is it your harvest, or is it the land's harvest? Who does this harvest belong to? That's his ha'ara, right? That's his question. So he says a wonderful pshat. And this is basically, just expounding a little bit, but this is basically what he's saying. He says that the message that the Karban HaOmer is kind of obvious. A person worked all winter, he plowed, he planted, he tended, he watered, he grew his crops, and finally he harvests his crops, but he still can't have it, he still can't eat it, because it's not his. It belongs to the land, which Ashrani Noisen Lechem, the land that I'm granting you, which means that it's Hashem's possession, which he can grant to you. But in order for him to grant it to you, it doesn't actually become yours until you do a mitzvah with it, until you bring the Karban HaOmer. When you bring the Karban HaOmer, then it becomes Katsirchem. Actually, what actually is Katsirchem is the Karban HaOmer. In other words, the only part of our possessions that are actually ours are the ones we do mitzvahs with. That's what Hashem gives it to us for. If we do mitzvahs with it, it becomes ours. Otherwise, it's Hashem's. And He sometimes lets us keep it, sometimes he doesn't. But it never at any point does it become ours. It's Ktzira, it's the land's harvest, and the only thing that's Ktzirchem is what we utilize for mitzvahs. And this is the foundation that our Torah is built upon. Every mitzvah that we have, every Avodas Hashem we have, is predicated on the recognition that all that we have and are granted and that we merit to have is property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we make a bracha, we serve Hashem, and that's the real benefit that we get from this world. And that's why from the Karban HaOmer, mentioning it every day, we build our excitement and our anticipation and our motivation to accept the Torah, to be able to do all those mitzvahs. Now, he says a beautiful story. The story was with Rav Eliyahu Mann, who was the gabbai of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. He spent a lot of time with him. So Rav Eliyahu Mann was by he was Rav Shimshon Pikus' brother-in-law, just for reference. So he was by a bar mitzvah in Bnei Brak, and someone approached him and said, I have a question, can you arrange an appointment for me by Rav Chaim Kanievsky? So he said, what for? So the man replied, I have a din Torah that I need to go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky about. So Rav Eliyahu Mann said, Rav Chaim, He's not a dayan. He doesn't preside over dinei Torah. We have batei dinim in Bnei Brak that you can go to for that purpose, but that's not something Reb Chaim does. So the man said, well, this particular dinei Torah, I think Reb Chaim, it's more appropriate to bring to Reb Chaim than to a proper beis din. So Rav Man's interest was piqued, so he asked him, you know, what are the details? Tell me about this dinei Torah. So the man said like this. He said there was Reuven and Shimon, two neighbors. Reuven was a Talmud Chacham. He learned all day and all night, but was very, very poor. And Shimon was a Ben Taira, and he worked, and he was actually quite successful in his business. At some point, Shimon became aware that his neighbor Reuven was so poor that he had absolutely no food to provide for Shabbos, and at times their Shabbos Suda of Reuven's whole family was one can of tuna for the whole family. And when Shimon found out about this, he was aghast. And like he said, I can't let this continue. So he went to Reuven and he said, from this point on, you buy everything you need for Shabbos and I pay the bill. That's what's going to be the arrangement from now on. Everything you need, you buy, I pay the bill. Reuven didn't have much of a choice. He was that destitute, so he accepted. And that was the arrangement they had. And Reuven would buy everything and Shimon would foot the bill. Things changed and Shimon's business stopped doing as well as it was. And whereas in the past, paying Reuven's bill didn't even make a dent, he barely noticed it, now it became an oil. It became something difficult for him to keep up, and it weighed down upon him, but nonetheless, he did not want to stop, and he didn't tell Reuven a word, and he just continued providing the money for Reuven. But then, eventually, Reuven found out, and he found out that Shimon's business isn't what it was, and he went over to Shimon and he said, I have tremendous hakaras hatayv. I'm very grateful that you paid all my bills till now, but I've heard what was going on with your business, and that's it. The arrangement is now formally over. I will start paying my own bills. But Shimon strongly objected. And Shimon said, no, that's not happening. I am going to continue to pay, because we know that the expenses of Shabbos and Yontiv don't come out of your allotted income, because Baruch Hu allots you income from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but expenses of Shabbos and Yontiv do not come off that income. And on the contrary, Maisif and Loi, the more you add to your Shabbos and Yontiv expenses, the Kodesh Baruch Hu covers, the Kodesh Baruch Hu pays for that. So it's not coming out of my income at all, because your Shabbos expenses are outside of my income. It's not coming out of my income. So why should I stop providing it for you? Reuven said, no, that's not true. Your Shabbos and Yontif expenses don't come out of your income, but my Shabbos and Yontif expenses, that's coming out of your income. That's tzedakah, that's chesed, that's not tzarchei Shabbos and Yontif. That does come out of your income, and now you can't afford it, so you have to stop. And they kept on arguing about this back and forth, until they said, you know what, we have to go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he will paskin this entire. So the man asked, Rabbi Man, you agree? This is a question for Reb Chaim to paskin, don't you agree? So the Rabbi Man said, yes, it is, but tell me, what's your connection to this Shaila? So the man said, I'm Shimon. He was the person who provided the money. So Rabbi Man, the next day, went to Reb Chaim, and he told him the whole story. And Reb Chaim was so overcome with emotion that these are the Dine Torah of Klal Yisrael, that he Pasha could not answer the question for a few minutes. Then he said that the truth is, Reb Chaim said, that there is a concept, Sayinim Atanis Yechia, that it's a good thing not to accept presents. And Sayinim Atanis Amu hates accepting things, Yechia, he'll live. But he says, that doesn't mean that if a person accepts presents, he won't live. It's just that it's a mila, it's a good thing not to. But if a person does, it doesn't take away. And certainly, he says, if a person is taking money in order to be able to have Shabbos and to provide for Shabbos properly, he says Shabbos is makar habracha. Shabbos is the source of all bracha and all blessing. Nothing bad can come out of that. So Reuven doesn't really have a reason not to accept. And as far as Shimon, I give him a bracha. Let him continue supporting continue supporting Reuven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless him. That and that's chus. His business will get back to what it used to be. That was his advice, and that's how he suggested they continue. When Rav Steinman was told about the story, Rav Man shared it with Rav Steinman says, you know, I think that Shimon is actually right. Because this is his Tzarchei Shabbos and Yontif. This is his needs of Shabbos. Why? Shimon can't sit at his table and enjoy a Shabbos meal when he knows Reuven has an empty table and there's no food there. He can't have any Shabbos when Reuven has an empty table. So it is his own personal needs for Shabbos to provide for Reuven's needs for Shabbos. Reb Chaim disagreed with him, and then had a machlekes about this. But this is the way Jews that have the true connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the way they view their money. And this is the way they view what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's not ours, and it's whatever is what is truly ours is what we get to do a mitzvah with. That is becomes Ktzirchem. But otherwise it's Ktzira, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decide where it should go. And that is what we're counting from. Every day when we count from the Eimer, we're counting based on that foundation. That foundation is the foundation that all our Torah and mitzvahs and Avodas Hashem is based upon, that truth, that Amunah. Have a good night and a wonderful Shabbos.